Good morning. If you would turn your Bibles to Matthew 5, that's where we'll be getting started here in a minute. I'm glad to be home. I've been gone for a few days. I was in Fort Worth last weekend through this last Wednesday, and it's always good to be with y'all. It was August 9th, 1173, in a beautiful Italian city. Architect Giovanni di Simone was tasked with building a bell tower. This bell tower was to be the crown jewel of a grand cathedral complex known as the Field of Miracles. This Field of Miracles was to represent Italian strength and power in the region. However, 5 years in the construction, the workers realized something was desperately wrong. The tower started changing. When the third story was completed, the workers noticed a very slight lean. So they started compensating by putting shorter components on one side than the other. Because of war, construction halted until December 1233. Workers started completing upper floors with one wall shorter than the other in an effort to keep the floors level. They added sacks of lead to the base. Nothing helped. Eventually, the bell was added in 1372, despite the disfigurement of the tower. Because of all the walls being shorter on one side than the other, the tower actually curved. However, despite all the efforts that were put in this tower, the foundation kept sinking. And no matter what the architects tried, the tower had a pronounced lean. Now, we all know where this goes. The tower became known as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. What once was supposed to be a symbol of power became a tourist trap. Experts went back and they found out what went wrong with the tower. One of the problems is the foundation was way too shallow. It was only 3 feet. And on top of that, there were two different kinds of soil. They compacted at two different rates. The foundation that the architect built on was truly insufficient to hold such a large tower. Over the years, engineers have stopped the lean through cables and through building up one side of it. But if only they would have used the correct foundation. That's kind of what I'm going to be talking about this morning. I'm going to be talking about the foundation. Merriam-Webster defines foundation as the basis upon which something stands or is supported. We all understand how important the foundation is to everything on this earth. We understand how trees depend on the deep roots. We understand how buildings depend heavily on their foundation, Even when training horses, the most important steps in the training process are known as the foundation, because this is what you build upon in the training during the rest of the horse's life. Our houses, our barns, our fences all have to have a strong foundation. They all have to have strong corners, or they're useless. God uses the idea of foundation many times throughout the Bible. The one we're going to focus on this morning is found in Matthew. Let's look briefly at Matthew 5 through 7. I'm going to be summing up this great sermon. It's given to us by Jesus, the greatest teacher who ever lived. The sermon begins by talking about the qualification of those who are called by God. Those who are broken, meek, pure in heart, peacemakers, those who are persecuted for righteousness. Oftentimes we call this Beatitudes. Then he goes on to describe the rules and the laws of the kingdom of heaven. Not fleshy laws, but spiritual laws, contrasting them with the law of Moses. Then in the middle of that, in chapter 6, he gives us different practical ways that we should act in the kingdom. When dealing with wealth, prayer, fasting, and worrying. Then in chapter 7, Jesus gives us two different paths we could take. The wide path and the narrow path. There's not a third option, only two. Everyone is included in these two paths. You're on one or the other. The wide path leads to destruction, and the narrow path leads to life. So as Jesus brings his sermon to a close, he continues with the theme of two directions one could go. This is where he tells us of the parables of the two different home builders. I'll read Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Jesus is telling all of those who hear this, including me and you, that we fall into one of two paths. Either we will hear his word and we will do him, or we will hear and we will not do. There's the doers and the not doers, not a word. Unfortunately, he is telling us that most of us will follow the wide path. He's telling us that the vast majority will hear his word and not do them. They will build his house on the sand, not the rock. But what I want to look at this morning is why do the majority of the people build their house on the sand? First, let's look at what is the sand. What's the sand he's talking about? The sand is any foundation that moves, a foundation that changes with time. As a kid, I used to go to the white sands in New Mexico and see the massive white dunes. And it's amazing how much sand moves over time. The Leaning Tower of Pisa, that's what happened to it. The foundation changed with time. It was not firm. The sand, put simply, is putting your faith on anything other than Christ's teaching. It's hearing the word of God and not acting on them. James 1:22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." The first reason I want to talk about why people build upon the sand is because it's way easier. Building a firm foundation is hard work. Building upon a rock is especially hard. Digging a simple hole in the rock takes many days of hard labor. Nowadays, they have explosives. But they used to have star bars. And if you've ever used one, you know exactly what they are. A star bar is a bar that you hammer into the rock. And you rotate it, and you keep rotating it, and you get out little chips. That's what they would have used to build on the rock. If you've ever built any fence in any rocky ground, you would know exactly what I mean. It's really tempting to just move your fence over just to miss the rocks. But you can't, because you'll have a crooked fence. But I'll tell you a secret. Any foundation that does not take hard work will not last. It's the same with fences. If you've ever built a fence in sand, you know you have to do backflips to try to make the corner stays. You have to set dead men. Dead men is a rock or something heavy you put into the ground. And even then, it's probably going to move. It's the same way with being a Christian. Being a Christian is not easy. It takes hard work and diligence. It takes daily effort. As a Christian, you are definitely not taking the path of least resistance. James 2:12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation." 2 Timothy 2:15 says that be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Hebrews 12:6 says that whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Philippians 3:12 says, I press towards the goal. Paul says that he has fought the good fight. Endures, be diligent, chasten, I press, fought. These are all action verbs. They represent work. You have to work at being a Christian. You have to work at your foundation. Building on the sand is easy. If you build on the sand, all you have to do is nothing. It's easy to justify your laziness. It's easy to come to services but not actually worship. It's easy to worship your phone. It's easy to ignore the elderly, the needy, the hurting. It's easy to not spread the gospel. It's easy to forsake the assembly. Loving your enemies is hard. It's probably one of the hardest teachings Jesus has. Not lusting in your heart is hard. It's really easy to go down the wide path. It's easy to build on the sand. But I tell you, it's easy to go to hell. All you have to do is nothing. The second reason people build upon the sand is it's what everyone else is doing. When building the Leaning Tower of Pisa, the standard practice was to build a 3-foot foundation, which was clearly not enough. But that's exactly what the builder did because that was the standard practice of the day. Matthew 7:13 says, "Broad is the way to destruction, and many go in by it." Matthew 7:22 says, "Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord." And Matthew 22:14 says, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Many. That's many are going to destruction. You know, I've came to this sad conclusion as I get older. Is how truly narrow the path to salvation is. How many Christians are in your neighborhood? How many Christians are in your school? How many Christians do you work with? Being a true Christian is unusual. There will be times when you're trying to follow God's word, you'll feel alone, because lots of times you are. People ask you why you're doing certain things. People ask you why you take God's word so serious, why you assemble together above everything else you have going on. The easy thing to do is follow what everyone else is doing. The easy thing to do is to be Christian by name only. That's what the world expects you to do. The world expects you to call yourself a Christian, but then that's it. They expect you to follow what else they're doing. Drug abuse, drunkenness, sexual sins, whatever is pleasing to you. That's what the world tells us is good. That's what everyone is doing. That's what the world teaches us is correct. That's what the world teaches us to build our foundation on. The problem is the world's foundation is always changing. It's just like those sand dunes. It's different tomorrow than what it is today. Never staying the same from one generation to the next. There's no hope, no promise in heaven in following the world. All you'll get is a pat on the back, but you'll still die alone. The third reason people build their house upon the sand is they think it has a better view. When you go to the beach, the best view is right on the water in the sand. Now everyone knows that you can't build a house right there. The foundation won't be steady. You have to get away from the beach. You have to get up on the cliffs. You have to get away from the water. Away from where the wind and the waves are going to hit you. You have to get through the rocks. The problem is, sometimes we have a tendency to build where the view is pleasing to us. Now let's be real honest with ourselves right here. How much time did you spend serving others this year? Or how much time did you spend studying the Bible or spreading God's word? How much time did you spend doing good? How much time did you spend with your children teaching them God's word? Now contrast that with how much time you went to their sporting events. Or how much time and money you spent on your house, your clothing, your car, pretty things, just because they look good to you, because they're pleasing to your eye, not out of necessity. Now I'm not saying these things are wrong. What I am saying is the balance matters. Are you working harder and harder all the time just so you can have nice things? But you're letting your foundation crumble. We build our foundation on this stuff, these phones, this junk that we have. And we got to be truthful to ourselves. Is that our foundation? Your foundation is where you spend the most time. That's your home. Look at the rich young ruler. He couldn't follow Jesus because what Jesus asked him to do was hard. He told him to get rid of everything. Because he liked the view from the sand way better. That's where his foundation was. Ecclesiastes 5:10. says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase." If your foundation is in things, it will always be moving. It will never be steady. What you have today is not what you want tomorrow. Look at phones. I think they're on iPhone 52 or something. Luke 12:20 says, this is the parable of the rich fool. God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided?" All this stuff that we have is crumbling. It's rotting. Our cars are rusting. Our bodies are failing. For you young people out there who are dating, what's your qualifications that you have for your potential spouse? Now be really honest with yourselves, because I was a teenager one time. Is it their looks? Is it the way they dress? The way they look at you? Or the way they make you feel when they get close to you? Is that the foundation you're trying to go after? Or are you looking for someone you can build a solid foundation with? Let me tell you, looks fade, waistlines expand, skin sags. What you look like today is not what you're going to look like later on. And if you're not careful, you might be left with an ugly, shaky, sandy foundation. And as a Christian, there is nothing that can ruin your faith faster than marrying someone who has no intent to ever become a Christian. And be honest with yourself, because you know. But if you build your foundation together around Jesus, centered upon Jesus, and if you make that your rock, you will have a beautiful view, and it will be a strong foundation. It will be a lasting foundation. Because they will get sick. You will get sick one of these days. And to be honest, who's going to change your diaper? The next thing I want to talk to you about this morning is people build on the sand because they assume everything will be okay. The storms are never going to come. My health is good. I don't know why we do this, but we don't think about death. We tend to never think about what might happen. We think about what might happen financially, but we don't think about other things. The foolish man built his house in the sand, not thinking about the storms that might happen. The rich man filled up his many barns with goods, and he told himself to eat, drink, and be merry. But God told him that very night that he would die. Job 14:1 says, "A man who is born a woman is few of days and full of trouble." And James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life." You know, one thing that really sticks to me in this parable, one of the things that really sticks out, is that the fact that the storms came. This isn't saying that if they come or that they might come. This is saying when they come. It doesn't matter where your foundation is built. The storms are going to come. Everything is not going to be okay in this life. It's not all sunshine and roses. Sickness happens. Death of a loved one happens. Cancer, you lose your job. The economy tanks. Your spouse leaves you. These are all serious storms, but they happen. It's a huge mistake to think that if my foundation is not built upon the rock, everything will be okay. You will be tossed about. You will be crumpled. You will be ruined. The last few years have been tough. Who would have ever thought that a virus would shut everything down? Who would have ever thought that we would go through a time where we didn't get together as a church? Over the last few years, we lost some brethren to sickness. We've had some brethren fall away. And we just lost a sister in Christ this last week to a horrible disease. The storms come, brethren. And we don't get to choose when or how severe the storms are. But we do get to choose where we build our house. The last thing I want to talk to you about this today is the devil is actively trying to lure you off your foundation. He will try to trick you into thinking that his way is way easier, that your friends have it right, that the sand has a much better view, that what you need is more stuff. That's what he'll tell you. But then if the devil can't lure you off your foundation, he will try to blow you off your foundation. Just look at Job, if you get a chance. Look at how he tempted Jesus. Sometimes it's not even the big storms that'll get us. Take a look at Peter. Peter was ready to die for Jesus. And then it took one little girl asking him. And that was his storm. That's how it is sometimes. Sometimes it's the small things. But I'm going to give you a little pep talk this morning. You are different. You're not going to fall off your foundation. Your house is firm on Jesus. You will not waver. You will not bow. You will not break. Because you belong to Jesus. And as long as he is your foundation, the storms, they will let up. The sun comes out and a rainbow shows. Because there's a promise that God has given us. When the dark clouds appear on the horizon, and rest assured they will, they may be here for you right now. We need to remember these five words. I will never leave you. When you don't know what to do next, I will never leave you. When tears are streaming down your face, God tells you, I will never leave you. When everyone has forsaken you, God says, I will never leave you. When your time on this earth has finished, God says, I will never leave you. Build your house on the rock, brethren, and God will never leave you. If you've not been baptized, now is the time to do this. Do not wait any longer. The time to fortify your foundation is not when the storm hits. Do not wait until the storm comes. Do not wait for the dark clouds to appear. Right now, your foundation is built on the sand. The storms will tear you apart. They will destroy you. Become one of his people today, and we will rejoice with you and welcome you as a brother or sister. If you are a Christian and the storms of life are ripping at you and it seems too much to bear, we will pray for you. But we can't do that unless we know the struggle that you're going through. If you have any need at this time, you do not have to come forward. You can meet us after church. You can meet us at any time. You can talk to me later on. But if you have any need, and if you want to, please come forward at this time as we sing this song of invitation.